Welcome to the Linked Up Church Podcast. We are passionate about connecting people to God, family, purpose, and community. Today, Minister Kimberly Savage comes with a power-packed message entitled Grow in Grace and Knowledge. Get your pen and your pad ready, and let's go into the worship center and hear what God has for us today.
Today, we are going to share a little bit about growing in grace and in knowledge. Point to yourself and say, self, grow up, grow in grace, grow in knowledge. Now, it's apparent in temporary culture that a significant number of believers, Christians, we possess greater knowledge about current global affairs compared to their understanding of responsibility. We got a lot of knowledge about what's going on in the world. We know what's going on in TikTok, Snapchat, X, Meta, so many things. We know a lot about what's going on. We can think of a song lyric quicker than we can think of a scripture. I'm talking about some believers. We can do that. We have a lot of knowledge, greater knowledge about global affairs compared to our understanding of the one who created the universe. Understanding God is crucial. We must enhance our level of biblical literacy in our current times. A lot of people don't want to talk about that. They think once I accept Jesus, that's it. Not so. We have to grow. That's not the end of it. We have to grow in grace and in knowledge. And we can't do that without establishing a personal relationship with God. And you have to ask yourself, what is your familiarity with God? Or better yet, let's go a little deeper. What is your level of intimacy with God? See, many of us, oh yeah, I love Pastor Trish. She's my pastor. And we see her for a few minutes on Sunday. We see them ministering from the pulpit. And we will say, we know her. Well, that might be surface. But I bet you Reverend Joel E. Gregory, he knows her. He has a level of intimacy. Amen? So what I want to impress upon us today is that we have to have a level of intimacy with God that goes beyond the superficial. Let's take a look at our foundational scripture. And it comes from 2 Peter 3:18, and I'll be sharing from the New Living Translation. It says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of your mama, of your daddy, of your wife, of your sister, or your brother, or your work, or your job. We spend a lot of time devoting our level of intellect to those things, but the word says we must grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, grow. What does that word mean? That means to enlarge by bulk or stature. You know, some of us, we've gained some weight. Some of us, we've lost some weight. So that could be grow, to increase. Increase. That's what it means to grow. You can increase in your knowledge. But it also means to enhance, to improve, or to make progress. So are you enhancing or increasing or improving in your knowledge of the grace of God or your knowledge of really who Jesus is? Beyond what you hear on Sunday, beyond your 60-second YouVersion, let me read this scripture. What are we doing to dig a little deeper to find out about our Heavenly Father and everything that he has done for us through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. We have to grow, and we really need to know God. Hosea 4 and 6, the New Living Translation. I like this translation because it makes it plain. Because oftentimes we have heard, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But the New Living Translation says, my people are destroyed because they don't know me. My people are being destroyed because they don't know me. They know a lot of stuff about everything else, but when it comes to me, what do we really know? See, we have to have, my grandmother said it all the time. She said, baby, you better know the Lord for yourself. You can't live off another man's revelation, the scripture that they have hidden in their heart. How is that going to help you in an emergency and they're nowhere near? And as Pastor Trish prayed, she talked about giving priority to the things of God and letting him be first before you call your mama, before you call your daddy, before you call your sister and your brother and anybody else. Do you know him well enough that he is first in line? First in line. Two types of wisdom, and make this correction because the definitions are mixed up. I had to say this out loud so that you can correct it. And those of you online, stick with us. But epigenosko, it refers to the ethical and divine knowledge of God, which is precise and correct. You know, if you ask somebody who God is, we know that he created the heavens and the earth. You know, some people, they think they know God so well that they refer to him as a higher power or the universe. I will not. I call him God the Father, and then there is God the Son, and then there's God the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me because I have a personal relationship with Jesus, and I'm not going to shortchange him or give him a different name just to satisfy what the world says is good. He is God to me. He is the one who saved me and healed me and delivered me and redeemed me and freed me. His name is God. And he lives on the inside of me through the Holy Spirit. And he gave his only son, Jesus, not just another prophet, but he gave Jesus that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. God loved us enough that he stepped out of himself and said, I will wrap myself in flesh and I will go down to the earth and I will live among them so that they can be reconciled to me. But do you know him? Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ginosko refers to that knowledge that goes beyond information. It describes the kind of knowledge involved in building. It didn't say having built. Building, that's present tense. That means it goes all the time. It never ends. And building an intimate relationship with the person. This kind of knowing leads to love and obedience. But how can you obey somebody that you don't know? How can you love somebody you don't know? But you got to build the relationship. God isn't holding anything back from us. But we have to build the relationship. I mean, he's given us his word, even when life tests us. He also said, I set before you life and death, choose life. He's told us what we need to do. But do we get in the word and work on our relationship, our level of intimacy enough so that we will know God? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. What do we need to know as we grow? We need to know about the grace of God. It says, God saved you by his grace when you When you prayed a lot. When you fasted. When you gave a big offering. When you believed. That's all he asked you to do. Believe. And you can't take credit, for it is a gift from salvation. It's not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us a long time ago. God has great plans for us, but it says that salvation, it is a gift of God when we believe. But he did it because of who he is, so that nobody on the planet can have the big head about what I did to get myself saved. You ain't done nothing. You ain't done nothing. So whether you've been saved 50 years or you just got saved yesterday, or you make a decision today, guess what? The playing field is level, because saved is saved. We all got to grow, but we can't say, well, I've been knowing God all my life and I'm this and I'm that. And you mean and nasty as I don't know what. Who can tell? You did not save yourself. God did. So that means none of us have the opportunity to boast. None of us can say I got it going on because I'm saved. What we have to do is give glory to God. Hallelujah, God, I thank you that you saved me. You saved me when I believed, and it is a gift that you gave to me, and I thank you. But my grandmother always said, people don't have to give you anything. And when they give you anything, you ought to show some appreciation. So if God saved you and you are appreciative, how you living? Can he tell? I'm asking for a friend. Because if you are grateful that he saved you, then there ought to be some signs in your life. Because we're growing in grace and knowledge. See, we often speak about grace as the new covenant, and that is true. But that doesn't mean that grace didn't exist in the Old Testament, because that's who God is. Do you know without grace, David never would have been anointed by Samuel? Eliab would have been the king without the grace of God. You know when David had to fight those sheep? Without the grace of God, the lion would have killed the sheep and David. Without grace, when David went before Goliath with that stone, nothing would have happened and Goliath would have took his head off. Maybe you all heard of Rahab. Rahab, the prostitute. But without the grace of God, we would still just know her as that. But because of the grace of God, we also know her for her great faith, and that she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So what's the point? It doesn't matter where you start. God's grace, it levels the playing field. God's grace can take you from zero to a hero. God's grace, it makes all of the difference. And it's not just the grace that saves you, but it's the grace that helps your life to be transformed when you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So nobody can look at their life and say, God is done with me. I said it. Are you breathing? Then God's not done. He's not done. So we have to know the grace of God that is more than the grace that just saved us. Grace is a story changer. Grace, it changes everything. See, when you can't do it on your own, and you get tired of bumping your head and you go to God, then grace takes over and you can get results beyond your wildest dreams, because his thoughts are higher. His ways are not like ours. Grace makes a difference. But you got to grow in the grace and the knowledge of. You got to grow in it. It's not just I said Jesus come into my heart and then I go back to living like the world and I don't even stay in the word long enough for it to start peeling back the layers from all of the bruises, the wounds, and the scars of my heart. All I said was I got, you know, a little feelies, and that's okay if you get the feelies, but after you get the feelies and you make the decision, then you should have some coordinating steps that come afterwards. And none of us, I don't care if you are apostle, pastor, evangelist, teacher, I don't care. I do not care. None of us get to the place that we have arrived. And look at your neighbor and say, good morning, minister. Amen. Why? Because once you are born again, everybody is called to the ministry of reconciliation. That means that we should have a light that so demonstrates the goodness of God in our lives. And we're not waiting on Pastor Trish. We're not waiting on Minister Johnny. We're not waiting on Minister Diane. We're not waiting on Minister David Walker. We're not waiting on Minister Russell. We're not waiting for the ministerial staff to get out there and lay hands on the sick to go minister to the lost. We're not waiting on them. Just because we are on this staff, that means that we are part of the fivefold ministry, and our job is to help equip the saints to do the work. But everybody is a minister of reconciliation. So if you are born again, God has work for you to do. Get in the game. Get in the game. Are you on the dream team? Are you in the connect group? What are you doing? Don't tell me how good God is to you and you can't do anything for him. Because I promise you, I'm still growing. I will always be growing until I meet Jesus. However it comes, the rapture, or I pass over to the other side and some of you all are still here. Until one of those things happen, I am still growing. So that means that God is still working in me. I'm not always going to get it right. But let's have some grace toward me. Let me have some grace toward you. And let's continue to do this thing called life together. Minister David talked about last week living connected. But you can't live connected if you on an island. I don't need nobody. And he said it right. That song, long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. Lie. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You need somebody else. Yes, you do. Why you think Jesus had disciples? Because he needed somebody else. He needed somebody else. And wherever you are needed. It's not just in these four walls. How are you living in your family? What does your marriage look like? What does your relationship with your children look like? Are you growing in grace and knowledge? Because we need each other and we have to live connected. We have to stay connected to the vine. We have to grow in the grace and knowledge. Now, what else do we need to know about God as we get intimate with him? We need to know his character. God will never let you down. Psalm 9, verse 10, in the New Living Translation says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, will not abandon those who search for you. Those who know you. Gnosko, they have intimate knowledge of you, so they have built a trust in you. So even when the storms come, they don't start singing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. They don't start saying, God, why did you let this happen to me? And I can, let me save you some trouble. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road at all. I've been down that road. And it happened because of the way my father was killed when I was 5 years old. And I traveled that road and I stayed on that road for a very long time. Let me save you. Get off that road. Get off. Because we live on the planet, bad things will happen to good people. But that does not change that we serve a good, good God. And he is a good, good father. And we are loved by him. It does not change that. But it says those who know you, they put their trust in you. Now, if you don't know him, you might put your trust in your job. You might put your trust in job, in your job if you don't know him. Now, I love working here at Linked Up Church. My work is unto the Lord, but I'm here at Linked Up Church, and it's a great environment. We get a lot done, but Linked Up Church is a resource. It is not the source. God is the source. Wherever you are, you might say, listen, that company might sign that paycheck, but God is the source. He is the one who opened the door to place you there. He is the one that keeps that company fiscally sound so that you can get a paycheck. And it's G-O-D. It ain't you. You understand what I'm saying? God is our source, not a resource. Whatever we have, if you have on nice clothes today, God is the source. If you have a house to live in, you hear me online audience while you in Bedside Baptist listening to Pastor Sheets. I'm telling you, being ministered by Pastor Pillows. Let me tell you something. God is still the source. Wherever you are, he's the source, not the resource. All day, every day. And when you start putting your trust in other things, that's when they can begin to fall apart. You have to give credit and honor to where it is due. Because let me tell you, your job didn't wake you up this morning. God did. And most of us, we breathe without even having to think about it. That's God. That's grace working in you. Hallelujah. Psalm 25:4 says, lead me by your truth and teach me. Lead me by your truth, not what the world says. Lord, you lead me by your truth. Show me the right path. Point out the world for me to follow. This is what I need from you, God. All day long, I put my hope in not my mama, not my relatives. Listen, thank God for beautiful people being in your life. But your hope should be in God. Your hope in God, you will never be disappointed. You can have unmet expectations from people and they will try to please you all day long. But if you're trying to put them in the spot, you know that hole in your heart that only God can fill, they're going to miss it every time. And you're going to find yourself being frustrated, mad, and angry over what you want a human being to do. And only God can. Hallelujah. See, as we immerse ourselves in the word, it begins to speak back to us. And you know, David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. But if you don't have his word in your heart, you're going to find yourself doing some of anything. And people can talk you into anything. And then when you get in a mess, then we have those fire prayers. God, get me out. Get me out. Jesus, get me out today. I'm tired, Lord. Get me out. Excuse me. But the Holy Spirit, he begins to develop your character. See, when we're growing in the grace and knowledge of God, it's not so, oh, God, I love you. I'm going to stay in your presence. I pray 6 hours a day. Oh, Lord, I love you. This is how I love you because I don't do anything but pray and worship you and read my word. No, God is saying, after you read my word, after you pray and worship me, keep that attitude, take it with you every day so that you are cognizant of my presence. So every person you encounter, encounter, it will be a God encounter, because it's not what you do when you're sitting there reading your Bible. It's how you get up and walk it out. When you grow in the grace and knowledge. We're talking about growing up, not being babies anymore. If we're going to win this dog world for Jesus, we got to grow up, and it starts with us. You know, we have a great staff, and I'm not saying it because I'm here, but when Pastor Gregory, he's not here, he knows that the word is still going to go forth. Because y'all are awesome, and God can use you. But nobody in here can say, I wasn't taught anything, because guess what? If I'm not rocking your boat, you can get in the Word and let the Holy Spirit rock it for you when you get home. You understand what I'm saying? Because God does not care. Listen, and I'm not trying to be crass, but I know God works through me. I know how he works through them. And at the end of the day, if God can use an ass, he can use me. I'm talking about a donkey, because that's what they call them. That's what they called him in the day. Okay? And if he can use a rock, if he can use a donkey, if he can use a tree, he can use them, he can use you. But are you still sitting on the sidelines talking about, Lord, I'm available to you? Are you? And every time he tells you to do something, you got a laundry list of everything else you got going on. And God, I'll get to you when I get back. Or I don't have time. I don't have time to serve on the dream team. They have to get there too early. And when it rains, I have to meet in the other parking lot. I just can't do that. It's going to mess my hair up. I don't have time for a connect group call song. That just takes too much time. I got this to do. But you got time to go to work. Dream teams, connect groups, that's like family. They'll come to your rescue. There are a lot of things that go on, and when a need happens, it may not even reach the church. Why? Because that body of believers said, we got you. Let's handle it. They will be in the hospital room. They will be interceding for you. That does not mean that you can't come to the staff for the things that you need to. But what I'm saying is, we are linked up church. That means that we are linked up together. And there is no link that is more important than the other link. But if you don't do your part, you will be a weak link. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. We need to know the voice of God. We need to know the voice of God. John 10, 27 says, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. Jesus said, my sheep, they listen to my voice. If you're a born again believer, you're a sheep of Jesus, and he said, you listen to my voice. And if you're a born again believer, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So when you know that little demon on your shoulder says, give him a piece of your mind, and that voice is saying, hush, 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 are you going to grow in grace and knowledge, or are you just going to override and tell it shut up? I'm going to do it this one time. I can repent later. I'm just saying, y'all know how we do. How many of you have ever gotten into a jam because you chose to disobey that inner voice called the Holy Spirit? So when you know better, you do better. And all I'm saying is that we need to grow, because Jesus chose that word, gnosko. And that is that intimate knowledge. He's saying that my sheep, they know me so well, that even in the midst of the storm, they can hear my voice. He says, my sheep, they know me and they listen to me and they follow me. But if you got too many things competing, see, sheep respond to the shepherd because they have a relationship with the shepherd. So they know that the shelter, The shepherd is going to lead them beside the still waters, not the raging waters, so the still waters so that they can have a drink. The shepherd is going to make them lie down in green pastures. The shepherd is going to anoint them. You know, the shepherd had a lot of work to do with sheep. You know, he had to pick the bugs off of them. Because sheep are very stupid animals. I'm not saying anybody in here is stupid, but if you read about them, they're stupid. They're stupid animals. They will run off a cliff. The shepherd will come and pick them up, break their legs to teach them a lesson. He's only doing it to teach them a lesson. They will get up, get healed, and run back over that cliff. That's what sheep will do. Sheep. But Jesus said, they listen to me. And we don't have to run off a cliff. We don't have to get our legs broken. The shepherd, he will take care of us. He said, all you got to do is listen to my voice and follow me, and I will lead you. But you got to shut down the counterfeit voices of anything that does not agree with the word of God. You got to shut it down. Because Jesus said at the day of judgment, many would claim to be his followers. He said that they would claim. And then Jesus said, my response will be, I never knew you. Gnosko, I never had intimate relationship with you. You knew of me. You had the right phrases on Sunday. Every now and again, somebody said good morning. And you said, bless the Lord, highly favored. You know, you had that much. You had the outward signs, but my father sees the heart, and he says, I will say to you, depart from me, because I never knew you. You never had that intimate relationship with me. Knowledge about God is important, but we have to raise our level of intimacy with the Father. What happens when we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It says, dear brothers and sisters, if a believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into that same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help somebody, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Point to yourself and say, self, you are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Now, what do we get out of that scripture? What do you get out of it? I put three things. Holy Spirit can give you more. We should restore other believers. When we know that a sister or a brother is in a struggle, it's not for us to go out and gossip. Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? And telling as many people as we can. It didn't say beat them over the head with everything that you know that they have done wrong or how they have missed it. It said gently and humbly. Help them. Because it could have been me. It could have been you. Because let's not think we got it all together that we can't fall. But he said gently and humbly. Restore them. What else do we get from this passage of scripture? We should help others. It says if you think you're too good to help somebody else, listen, you are sadly mistaken. Because everybody will need the help of some other person. I don't care who it is. And I was in a struggle for about 2 weeks. Dealing with some challenges in my body. But can I tell you, the staff that I work with, there were so many people who said, how can I assist you? And I could have been so full of pride that I said, ain't nothing going on. But I said, I'm being challenged right now. Can you join your faith with me? I wasn't too proud to say I need help. I had two colleagues who had to massage the spasms out of my shoulder. I wasn't afraid to tell them, and I'm not afraid to tell you. Because just because we stand before you don't mean that we always have it together or that we are not challenged by something. And I thank God for them. They didn't say, what's wrong with you that you got this symptom in your body? You not living right? What have you done? It wasn't no condemnation, because sometimes that's what we do. People are going through a challenge. We're like, oh, you must have done something. You must not be living right to be going through this. Would you say that to Jesus? When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane going through and saying, Lord, if there's another way, get me out of this. When he was hanging on the cross and he said, Lord, hey, why have you forsaken me? Because sometimes it feels that way, but we know that he never has. But when our flesh, it feels. Our flesh is not perfected. Our spirit man is. Our flesh is not perfected. So stop beating up on other people and see how you can help them. And then it says we should not compare ourselves to others. Stop comparing yourself to other people. It also tells you, mind your business. That's what I'm just saying right here in the word it's saying. Everybody's responsible for their own conduct, right? That's what it says. It says pay attention to your own work. That's what it said. So that sounds like to me, mind your business to me. That's what it sounds like to me. So that says, mind your business. Don't compare yourself to other people. Because you have enough to do just working on yourself. And all of us are responsible for our own conduct. Now, we have the power of choice. And statistics say we make anywhere between 33,000 and 35,000 choices a day. That's a lot of choices. And if you stick with Holy Spirit, we can be more right than we are wrong most of the time. You know, because we are fleshly. You know what I'm saying? That flesh can rise up, but the more you stay in your word, the more he will guide you. So don't compare yourself to others. Don't try and steal somebody else's testimony. You know, this is the way God did it for them. And then you put God in a box and say, this is the only way you can do it for me. You know, you let God color outside the lines of your imaginary box. Let God have his way in your life. If he created you, he knows everything that you bring to the table. He knows where your level of faith is and is not. Let God have his way in you and every area of your life. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Now, what else happens when we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? What else happens? Says, love your enemies and do good to them. This is Luke 6:36. Love your enemies and do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High God. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Did you all hear that? God is kind to the unthankful and the wicked. But let somebody be unthankful or wicked towards us. Oh, I'm going to get you now. I know what he said, but vengeance is mine. But it says God is kind even to the unthankful and the wicked, because it is the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. And get the word says, listen here, be kind to people, love your enemies, even if they don't do right by you, you do right by them, and your reward from heaven will be great, because can't nobody pay you like the good Lord can. He knows what you need, and how he blesses and restores goes well beyond those things that are material. It says you must be compassionate just as your father is compassionate. So we don't love like the world loves, and we must be the world that. Jesus. We must be the Jesus that the world sees. We have to be. And I just want to encourage everybody. You can see the rest of the notes. I am running out of time, and I want to be respectful of that. So, you know, in the future, I'll have another opportunity. Bless the Lord. But I'm just so full because God is just so good. But I want to encourage everybody, make a lifetime decision to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Make a decision to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new. He's a new creature, a new creation in him. But you can't make yourself new. And we all have to think about how we represent. I put a hyphen in there because I don't want to say represent, but how do we represent? How do we share the package of Jesus to others? If we say he is good, how can other people who come in contact with us, how can they understand that he is good? We have to walk in love as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And that knowledge is the love that is patient. That love is kind. That love doesn't keep a laundry list of the suffered wrong. That love, that means God's love working in us. That can even be kind when it is hurt by others. Or even when we sow over here, and we're still looking in this direction. Y'all read the word, because we reap what we sow, not where we sow. So you may go and give it over here, and you're still looking in this direction. Listen, if you sow apples, you're going to get apples. It may not come from over there. It may come over here. You'll get the what, but not necessarily the where. And let me tell you, if we do our works unto him, whether it be that person, or that person, let me tell you, the harvest is a vertical connection. So you have to stop looking for it from the horizontal, because God will do it. We got to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because he loves us and he wants us to represent him well. No matter what we go through, he wants us to represent him well. But if we never take the time to dig into that word, if we never take the time to be totally surrendered and sold out to him, not trying to have one foot in the world and just enough over here so that I look good on Sunday and everybody's giving me sort of accolades. Well, what you going to do in the midnight hour when those people are not there? Let me tell you something. God, he loves you so, so much. And he's not making it hard for you to have a relationship with him. All he says is believe. Believe. You may be looking back in your past and you're saying, I've done so many things, I can't get it right. But let me tell you something, you'll never be able to get it right on your own. But dirt is dirt is dirt. There is no little sin and big sin in the eyes of God. It all looks like dirt. But there is one who hung on the cross, and his name is Jesus, and he washed away every sin and stain from dirt. And God loves you. God loves you. I can't say it enough that God loves you, and there's no way that you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ without having a relationship with him. So at this time, I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads. Go ahead and bow your heads at this time. Everybody praying in the spirit. Nobody walking or talking unless you have need to do so. And I want to extend some invitations to you, because maybe you heard the message and you said, I want to grow. I want to grow in grace and knowledge. I know that something's been missing from my life. I hope you understand the thing that is missing is a relationship with Jesus. God loves you so much that he gave Jesus to die for your sins. And if you want to grow in grace and knowledge, you cannot do that without having a relationship with Jesus and the first step to accepting God's grace so that you can grow in it is to accept his son. Personal transformation and spiritual growth are interrelated. You can't do one without the other. So if you've been struggling trying to change, you can't change yourself. You need Jesus to do that.
Praise God. I trust that this message has touched your heart today. Listen, we don't claim to have all the answers, but we do know one answer, and his name is Jesus Christ. So if you don't have a personal relationship with him today, we want to invite you to do so. Or maybe you had one with him, but you've just gotten away and you're desiring to come back to Christ today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer today. If you would, repeat this after me. Put your hand over your heart and say these words. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died, rose from the grave, and he is alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. As a result of what I've confessed with my mouth and what I believe in my heart, I am right now born again and in right standing with God. In Jesus' name." Praise God. We are so excited for you. We believe that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Congratulations. We are so excited that you made the decision to get connected to God.
Thank you for listening today. If this message encouraged or inspired you in any way, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit us at linkedupchurch.com or download the Linked Up Church app. You can also watch live services, view past messages, and see our dynamic content for children, youth, and teens on our Facebook and YouTube pages. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Linked Up Church. And if you would like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at linkedupchurch.com or text Get Connected to 94000. Thanks again for listening. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to connecting with you.